is from Mark chapter 5. And I'd like to read with you beginning at the first verse of that chapter. Mark chapter 5, and if you're looking on your Bibles, it's on page 1050. The Sunday school, there is a Sunday school for kids. So if you'd like to go to Sunday school, there's a craft and things, you can go. Okay, we're going to read Mark chapter 5. They went across the lake, that's Jesus and his disciples. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with them. Jesus would not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. And this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Did you think that was a pretty weird reading to have on Thanksgiving Day? Kind of, sure. And I had told people, some friends and colleagues, you know, what I was going to be preaching on. They said, "You're doing what?" But I hope and I trust and I think that in about 15 minutes, you'll say, "Yeah, that was actually a good text to use." You probably expected me to read a nice psalm, maybe Psalm 16, where it says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence and give me eternal pleasures from your right hand." That would have been a nice Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Day message. Or maybe you say, well, why didn't he read something from the Apostle Paul? He said, let the message of Christ rule in your hearts, while as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Well, you can make a good Thanksgiving Day sermon out of that one. But the story of a demon-possessed man, kind of weird. But let me ask you a question. What are things that you are grateful for? Somebody tell me something. What are you grateful for? Children, family, right. What's another thing we're grateful for? Health. Okay, excellent. It's interesting that no one said, that I didn't hear a single person say, I am so thankful for gravity. Because if it weren't for gravity, we'd be just floating around in the air and maybe we'd be getting lost in the stratosphere, but no, we are held firmly to the ground, and I am grateful for that. Not a one of you had that in your mind. Not one person here said, I am grateful for sweat. You did not. Sweat. You did not say you're grateful for sweat. You could have said, I am grateful that when it gets hot out, that my body naturally reacts by reducing, by sending out water from my body, which reduces my temperature, maintains my health. Because I know that if I didn't sweat on a hot day, I'd be in very serious physical trouble. Thank you, God, for sweat. Not a one of you said that. These things that we are thankful for are things that we know that we could lose. Or we are thankful for them because we know there are people who do not have them. We're grateful for families and we're grateful for children because we know that there are people who do not have families. There are people who are alone in the world. We say, that is true, and I am not among them. And I am grateful. Everybody enjoys gravity. Not everybody enjoys gifts of family or children. Okay, so let's go back to our Bible story. The story of the demon-possessed man. The man in whom the demon said, we are legion, for we are many. This man suffered the terrible misfortune of being possessed by an evil spirit. And when that evil spirit filled him, he invited all of his friends and neighbors in the demonic world to come and join him. And this man had an army of demons set up shop inside of him. And the torment of those demons drove him into the cemetery. And that's where he spent his days and nights. That's where he was, but the cemetery is no home. He was homeless. And on hot days, he would try to find a bit of shade and from the shadow cast by the monuments in the cemetery. And when it rained, he would huddle against the gravestones, and there would be no rest or respite for him. Because he was confined to the place of the dead, he was cut off from all the living. And so he had no family. He had no brothers or sisters or mother or father to defend him, to comfort him, to tease him or to love him. He had no friends, nobody to go fishing with, nobody to challenge him, nobody to just come alongside and be a buddy. He was alone. unless, of course, you count the army of demons that were afflicting him and tormenting him. Because of the evil spirits that had taken over his life, he was in spiritual bondage. And the evil ones in him prevented him from reaching out to the Lord, his Creator, from participating in the rituals and rhythms of worship. And because he was not made by God for this spiritual bondage, but instead he was created for spiritual freedom, because he was so filled and attacked by evil, the spiritual anguish inside him drove him mad. Surely there was a form of mental illness going on in this man. Who wouldn't become mentally ill when you're being tormented and possessed in a way like this poor man was? He had no home. He had no family. He had no friends. He had no health. He had no faith. He had no peace. How terrible that must have been. How helpless he must have felt. And we know that even in our community, there are people not far away who experience the same kind of troubles as this poor man that we read about in Mark chapter 5 did. People who have no home. We know that there is a homeless reality in our community in Hamilton. We know that there are people who are cut off from family and friends. We know that there are people who are unaware, who do not know that there is a God who has created them and has equipped them for something that is dignified and good. There are people in our community who agonize with a tortured mind from schizophrenia or bipolar disorder or any of the other myriad psychological disorders. This is not a strange story. This is a story that's played out among us and around us so very often. Compounded by the terror of his situation, he was helpless. He saw and knew for him there was no way out. There was no cure. What, indeed, could overcome a legion of demons, an army of evil presences within a person? Sad, sad story. But then, there came across the lake and landing on the beach, a boat. And in the boat, there was Jesus. Jesus was the one who had the power and the authority and the will to set him free. And we read that, how Jesus did command those spirits. He has authority and power over the evil spirit. He says, you are going to get out of that man. And they did. They obeyed him and he was set free. That was a big surprise. It was a big surprise to this man who didn't dream that there could be freedom and release available for him. It was a surprise to everyone in the community who got used to the fact that there was this brokenness, that there was this alienated man, this marginalized man, this tortured man in their community, just over there in the cemetery. You know where he is. And they did not believe that there was a cure, that there was a way that he could be released from his torment. And they were surprised. They were surprised at Jesus' power, that he could command. They were surprised at his authority, that even evil spirits would listen to him. And they were surprised at the compassion of Jesus, that he cared enough for some guy way on the margins, so extremely outside of everything. That Jesus could have had all of his attention for the mainstream. He could have talked to the people who'd sit respectfully and listen to him. And they were surprised that Jesus even went out and sought the man who was so tormented. Now, to the community people, it was an unnerving surprise that Jesus was like this. They didn't know what to make of a teacher who had that kind of power. They didn't know what to make of the fact that he sent all these evil spirits into a herd of pigs and that they were drowned, and they maybe had questions about the economics of all of this and who's going to recompense the owner of these pigs. Well, anyway, their surprise gave way to fear and even a request that Jesus leave because they were afraid of this kind of power. But for the man who was set free, surprise gave way to something else. Surprise gave way to thanksgiving. This is a man who knew what thanksgiving was all about. Because now, what did he have to look forward to? What were possibilities for this man who had been so isolated, so marginalized, so tormented? Now he could say, now I can have home again. Jesus says, go back to your home. Did you hear Jesus say that? Go back to your home. Go back to your family. Reconnect with your friends. Be blessed by the health that is now yours. You know me, you know what faith is and to whom your faith should be lodged. And in your heart you may experience peace. Home, family, friends, health, faith, peace. These were the things that were now this man's again, that he could enjoy and that he could be blessed with. These were the things that he could say, thank you, God. Because without God, without the Lord Jesus Christ, none of these things were his. And because of Jesus, all of these things were his. The freedman wanted to forego home and family and friends so that he could follow Jesus on his journeys. But Jesus said to him, go home. Be with your people. Love them and let them love you. And tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has shown you mercy. And that is a good word for us. We are people who have seen homelessness and isolation, people who are spiritually lost, people who are tormented, people who do not know peace. For some of us, we can say, yes, that was me at a point. Maybe some of us will say, in certain dimensions, that is true of me today. Many of us, most of us, I bet you all of us, can say we know people in our friends or in our family who have experienced torment. And we continue to pray for them and for each other. But on this Thanksgiving Day, we accept as a gift of God the blessings of home and family and friends, of health and peace. And we give glory to God. It is so right that on this day set aside in our society for Thanksgiving, that we say, we are going to start today at 10 o'clock. We are going to be here so that we can sing songs to the Lord. so we can read the word of the Lord, and so that our thanks can go up to the Lord, because to whom else should we say thank you? Only to the giver, indeed the one who has given us all things. Now the people of the Decapolis, the region of the ten cities that where the Gerasenes were, they were amazed when they heard of the things that Jesus did and of the display of his power and mercy and generosity. And I bet that the people of Waterdown and Burlington and Flamborough and Dundas and wherever else the Lord has caused you to have your home will be amazed as well when they realize the amazing freedom and blessing that we have in Christ. God is good, and we give him thanks. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for all the blessings that the formerly demon-possessed man came to enjoy again. Thank you for all the blessings that we have been given. And to you we say thank you. May thanksgiving not be something that we focus on one day of the year, but indeed let our lives be a testament of our ongoing gratitude and appreciation and love for you. For you are the Lord, we are your people, and we give you glory. Amen.